today, I had done so much advance in a lot of my books of Deuteronomy that I assumed that I already did chapter 25 and 26, which I did not do. But I do have chapter 27 and 28 today. So I had my notes were advanced and I went too far ahead of myself. I checked and no, I didn't do it. So we're going to have Deuteronomy 27 and 28. 28 is a pretty long chapter. So as it's being read, probably you have an awful lot of things you'd like to write down or think about and make a note of.
Deuteronomy 27. Now Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, "Keep the whole commandment that I command you today, and on the day you cross over the Jordan to the land that the Lord your God has given you, you shall set up large stones and plaster them with plaster, and you shall write on them all the words of this law when you cross over to enter the land that the Lord your God has given you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you. And when you have crossed over the Jordan, you shall set up these stones, concerning which I commanded you today on Mount Ebal, and you shall plaster them with plaster. And there you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall wield no iron tool on them. You shall build an altar to the Lord your God with uncut stones. And you shall offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God. And you shall sacrifice peace offerings and shall eat there. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. And you shall write on the stones all the words of this law very plainly." Then Moses and the Levitical priests said to all Israel, "Keep silence and hear, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today." That day Moses charged the people, saying, "When you have crossed over the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal for the curse: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall declare to all the men of Israel in a loud voice, 'Cursed be the man who makes a carved or cast metal image, an abomination to the Lord, a thing made by the hands of a craftsman, and sets it up in secret.' And all the people shall answer and say, 'Amen.' Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed be anyone who moves his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed be anyone who misleads a blind man on the road. And all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to a sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed be anyone who lies with his father's wife, because he has uncovered his father's nakedness. And all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed be anyone who lies with any kind of animal. And the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed be anyone who lies with his sister, whether the daughter of his father or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed be anyone who lies with his mother-in-law. And all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed be anyone who strikes down his neighbor in secret. And all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed be anyone who takes a bribe to shed innocent blood. And all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say, 'Amen.'" Chapter 28. "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed you shall be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground, within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give you the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall only go up and not down, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of his words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, or go after other gods and to serve them. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and perish quickly on the account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence stick to you until he has consumed you off the land that you are entering to take possession of. Then the Lord will strike you with wasting disease and with fever, inflammation, fiery heat, and with drought and with blight and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And the heavens over your head shall be bronze, and the earth under you shall be iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder. From heaven dust shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall be a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. And your dead body shall be food for all the birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth. And there shall be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt and with the tumors and scabs and itch, of which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind, and you shall grope at noonday as a blind grope in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and robbed continually, and there shall be no one to help you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall ravish her. You shall build a house, but you will not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, and you shall not enjoy its fruit. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat of any of it. Your donkey shall be seized before your face, and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, but there shall be none for you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes look on and fail with longing for them all day long. But you shall be helpless. A nation that you have not known shall eat up all the fruit of your ground and all of your labors, and you shall only be oppressed and crushed continually, so that you are driven mad by the sights that your eyes see. The Lord will strike you on the knees and on the legs with grievous boils which you cannot be healed. From the sole of your foot to the crown of your head, the Lord will bring you and your king upon whom you set over you to a nation you have neither known nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, and you shall become a horror, a proverb, and a byword among all the peoples where the Lord will lead you away. And you shall carry much seed into the field and shall gather in little, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but you shall neither drink of their wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all of your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives will drop off. You shall father sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. The cricket will possess all your trees and the fruit of your ground, and the sojourner who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. All these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that he commanded you. They shall be a sign and a wonder against you and your offspring forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart, because of the abundance of all things. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord your God will send against you, in hunger and thirst and nakedness and lacking everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the end of the earth, swooping down like an eagle, a nation whose language you do not understand, a hard-faced nation who shall not respect the old or show mercy to the young. It shall eat the offspring of your cattle and the fruit of your ground until you are destroyed. It also shall not leave you grain, wine, or oil, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock until they have caused you to perish. They shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted come down throughout all your land. And they shall besiege you in all your towns throughout all your land, which the Lord your God has given you. And you shall eat the fruit of your womb, the flesh of your sons and daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and in the distress with which your enemies shall distress you. The man who is the most tender and refined among you will begrudge food to his brother, to the wife he embraces, and to the last of his children whom he has left, so that he will not give to any of them any of the flesh of his children whom he is eating, because he has nothing else left, in the siege and in the distress with which your enemy shall distress you in all your towns. The most tender and refined woman among you, whom would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because she is so delicate and tender, will begrudge to the husband she embraces, to her son and to her daughter, her afterbirth that comes out from between her feet, and her children whom she bears, because lacking everything, she will eat them secretly in the siege and in the distress with which your enemies shall distress you in your towns. If you are not careful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions, afflictions severe and lasting, and sickness grievous and lasting. And he will bring upon you all of the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Every sickness also, and every affliction that is not recorded in the book of this law, the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed. Whereas you were numerous as the stars of heaven, you shall be left few in number, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And as the Lord took delight in doing you good and multiplying you, so the Lord will take delight in bringing ruin upon you and destroying you, and you shall be plucked off the land that you are entering to take possession of. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples from one end of the earth to the other. And there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. And among these nations you shall find no respite, and there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But the Lord will give you there a trembling heart and failing eyes and a languishing soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. Night and day you shall be in dread and have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, if it only were evening. And at evening you shall say, if only it were morning, because of the dread that is your heart shall feel and the sight that your eyes shall see. And the Lord will bring you back in ships to Egypt, a journey that I promised that you should never make again. And there you shall offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer.
A couple of very positive chapters, isn't it? Seems to be little or no hope if something doesn't transpire. Now remember, these people were going into the Promised Land for the first time. And so he's telling them, and we've gone through this Deuteronomy quite a bit, and this is how you can set up your government, so you can set up your people, so you can set up your services and everything else that you have. This is how you can treat people. This is how you're going to treat one another. So you treat the widow. So you treat and all that which is the uprightness of God. And I've said before and I'll say again, a lot of us say we don't know what God wants us to do. Man, it's loaded here. It's very, very strong. And now let's just start with the 22nd chapter for a moment. Now, the first thing that comes on mind is that they're going to do something with a couple of stones. What are they going to do with them? They're going to what? Now, they're very large stones. And there's certain words had to be put upon it. Now, we're not quite sure exactly what exact words were put upon it. It doesn't tell us exactly which words were put upon it. But my thinking, which is probably just that, it wouldn't surprise me if they were referring to the Ten Commandments. And the board had to be white. I'm not quite sure. And it had to be clear. And it's called whitewashing of them. And in Hebrew, it's the word lime, using lime for the purpose of making it that way. And it's very large, so it can be seen from a distance as they enter into the land. And no, not when you go to Tel Aviv. That's the wrong spot. It's over there by Jordan River as you enter in. And there's two mountains that we mentioned here, which are very fascinating. And Daniel went through some of them in the past. So we're talking about a little about those two mountains, okay? One of those mountains is called what? Avedo, actually, in Hebrew. You know what that means? Bald. That's all it means. So the mountain had, in a sense, no trees on it. It was a bare mountain. It was bald, had no, quote, life on it. There was no vegetation on it. On that particular mountain, they were supposed to do something. What were they supposed to do? Sorry, what? Oh, for the stones, they had the stones there, but now we're talking about the mountain of Evel, or Ebel, Ebal. And basically the word just means a stone that's bare, a large stone, and it's bare. More than likely, it's probably where they put two large stones, I would assume, but I do not know. I wasn't there. But more than likely, because they were supposed to do something there first. Verse 5. Build an altar. With what? With stones. Build an altar and you have it built with stones, but don't carve into them. Don't use a hammer and a chisel. That stone doesn't quite fit there. Let me just take a hammer. Okay, now it'll fit. No, don't even consider doing that. Just put the stones together. Our society, you know, people like stones being perfectly put in the right place. With God, not so. Just build the altar and use stones. Now, a certain amount of stones are to be used. Yes, Daniel.
When I covered this a number of years ago, I pointed out that archaeologically they found that altar. They found that altar, as well as all the ramps that they built up to go to it. And the whole process, they found a whole bunch of used, dead, clean animal remains that were on it. They were also buried. And they mapped out exactly the whole path. I think the priests had, it apparently had been running for a number of years up on that mountain.
Well, imagine during all the time of Joshua, and maybe during the entire time of the Judges. Because it wasn't shifted to Shiloh for many years later. So, yeah, I'd say that was probably the main key, number one place that was for the place where God had put them. Now, there where you do all your shalom offerings, all your peace offerings, all of the whole offerings, and all the other things you're supposed to do when you come to God to give Him something. Now, and it says, and you shall write very plainly on the stones all the words of this law. So it pretty well tells you for this particular point that there were the two stones, or very large stones, let's say two, but very large stones that were to put upon them and make them and put write the law on it. I don't know exactly what words were being used. It's not that for us to know, technically, but I think it's probably a whole lot more than we imagine. So when you want to do your holy offering, you want to do to give your shalom offering, you want to give your sacrifices that God wanted you to give, then you would see those laws. So probably involved a lot more than the Ten Commandments. Because there's certain rules of laws that He has set down for a purpose. Now we've gone through many times about the purpose of all of the sacrifices or free will offerings. And it's a picture of something. And I said before, when you bring, God said, when you bring an offering to me, He gets to choose it. Right? He gets to pick what you bring to Him. You don't get to pick what you bring to Him. He picks what you bring to Him. And generally it's the best you have. Okay? Almost always the best you have. And now He said, now you're entering into, verse 9, you're entering into this place, and take heed, take warning, listen very carefully, Israel. This day you have come or will become the people of God. How did they become, or when would they become the people of God when they entered in?
When they walked the Red Sea.
Oh no, this is 40 years later. So what is He telling them now? You're ready to cross over Jordan. You do certain things. You have this. You have those certain stones. You have whitewashed, and you put words on there. And when you mailed an offering, I mean, you build an altar, but you don't carve it out. You use the stones that are there. There's always 12 stones, basically. Small or big, yes.
Well, they've been under the tutelage of Moses and the eye for 40 years when God is dealing with them directly. This is kind of like adulthood, and He's saying, don't forget what you learned, because you're going to be on your own before God. That's a big change.
So they're not going to have, quote, an overseer. In a quote. Now they must listen to what God. Now the very first part of this chapter, if I may be wrong. Yeah, he says, and Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people saying, so even the elders of Israel had to go, once they had to go and talk and tell their people, this is what it is. When Moses was told, Moses told the elders, and the elders went and told the people. There was no loudspeaker in those days. Television was kind of like bad. The radios didn't broadcast very well. They were very short, you know. They didn't have good quality radio those days, you know. Unlike today, you know. We hear the president time we want, right? Just turn the thing on or turn it off, whatever you want to do. Anyway, and he said, you'll therefore now, when you go into this promised land, you're going to do something. You shall obey the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim, and observe the commandments and the statutes which I have commanded you today. Remember, the book of Deuteronomy is full of what? Three things. Statutes, judgments, and commandments. That's the whole book of Deuteronomy is all about. The mountain, which we talked about first of all, was the one that had to be meaning bare or bald. The second one has a different meaning. Very interesting meaning. Anybody know what it means? Verse 12. And you stand, and they shall stand on a certain mountain. Mountain what? Gizurim. To bless the people with. Okay, one mountain is to bless with. Now, so let's find out. The word is very fascinating. Actually comes from a verb, to be cut off. So they're going to a mountain that is going to have cuttings off, things being cut off. What do you think they're being cutting off? Why this mountain? Why that name? Why cutting off? Or something being cut out? And here is where the blessings are going to be. And it almost sounds like it should be the other way around, right? I'm going to cut something off of you, or he's cutting something else off. What do you think he's cutting off? Any idea? Okay. They're crossing over, right? What was one of the issues they had to do before they crossed over? In the book of Joshua. Oh, wait.
They were to circumcise all of the men.
Circumcise. To roll back something. To cut something off. So when you're entering into the promised land, now something's going to be removed from you. What going to be removed from you? The reproach of Egypt. That's what it says there in the book of Joshua. You go back there and read, I think it's the very first chapter. And so it's very fascinating to stop and think about it. It doesn't mean this mountain was luscious. Doesn't mean it was beautiful. Doesn't mean it means that's where you're going to give the blessings from. One mountain will be a blessing, and the other mountain, verse 13, now you're going to do something there. You're going to curse from there. Now, it's very funny when you start looking at this thing. It says, now, we'll be blessed. But you notice that this chapter, verse 27, addresses something called the cursing first. Now, they were on this other mountain, the Bald Mountain, the mountain of rock, where the commandments of God are to be put there on large stones. And so they remember it. And an altar would be built there. And sacrifices would be offered there. Right? Now in here he says, I want Reuben there, and I want Gad there, I want Asher there, I want Zebulun there, and I want Dan there, and I want Naphtali there. And now the Levites are going to say something. The Levites will say something to all the men of Israel. That is all the tribes. Now several series of curses. Now, that's kind of an unusual thing, but now the fascinating thing, what is fascinating about this section of Deuteronomy 27th chapter? What do you find fascinating about cursed is the one who, and curses is the one who, and the curses is the one who, and curses is the one who, so on and so forth? What is the theme behind the thing? Yes?
It sounded to me like they, I don't think this is the answer you want, but they're all covered in the Ten Commandments. Well, this is, to me, extension or application of the Ten Commandments.
And a few others. Remember, we just got through saying, wait. They will have no longer an overseer. Moses is going to be dead. They won't go to Moses to find out what does the Lord want us to do. Now, he says, you as a people, you are to institute these things. You are the one. That's why it says, and the people would say, Amen. They are to carry out that order. They're to carry out that law. They're to carry out that ordinance. They're to carry out that judgment. It's no longer up to God doing it. They must do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why this chapter has us repeating over and over again. And we say, yeah, we got that. But the latter part of each one that says, and the people will say, so be it. We will do it. We will institute it. We will enforce the law. We'll do according to the commandment. We'll keep your judgment. We'll keep your law. We'll keep your statutes. Wow. Do you understand what this is all about? It's not just a whole bunch of people saying, oh yeah, amen, yeah, amen, amen. And people rattle off the word amen an awful lot. But really, in biblical Hebrew, it means, I will do it. I will carry it out. I will bring it to its conclusion. When you say amen in your services, you're asking God, bring it about, God. Bring about what I'm asking you. Please bring it about. That's when you use the word amen. And sometimes, I know you've gone to a lot of churches, and some of you, and have the crowd saying, amen, amen, amen. They have no idea what they're singing. And God is saying, this is what you're going to say amen to. All right? Any questions about the 27th chapter?
About the what? Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image. What about these congregations that have a great big huge statue of Jesus?
I am not going to address that one. I'll tell you the reason why. It's foolish to address such a question.
Why?
What does the Word of God say? And what Elohim says. When he says that, they do it. They go against it. Guess what all Israel did too. They made all sorts of statues, all sorts of things, and God cursed them. And you'll find out later on in this chapter. People do what they want to do. But when you say amen, if they have said amen, God's going to hold them accountable for not carrying out his commandment, including any idol, any statue, any image, whether it's in heaven or on earth or beneath the earth. That includes a fish. All right? Do I answer your question? I'm not going to judge them. I'm letting God do the judging. Let God do the judging. Israel was to set up their government this way. Did they? For a while they did. For a long while they did. And sometimes it went direction and God had to, okay, raise up another judge. And, okay, 40, 50 years later, another judge came on the scene and they upheld the amen. Carried out the amen. Including a particular female. She carried out the amen. They didn't wait upon, quote, the Lord. No, they did what they were supposed to do because they agreed with amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, what does it mean to curse? Biblically. Torah. What does it mean? Just say nasty things to them? Or carry out the judgment. Alright? Remember the person who is hanging from a tree? He is cursed. Oh, cursed by who? By God. So you carry out these judgments. We already know what it says many times in the Torah. Death sentence. A death sentence takes place. These are bad things. What do you do when someone sleeps with an animal? You kill both the animal and the person. That's cursed. You like to carry out those things? Now, we're not Israel. We're not ancient Israel. We live in a country called the United States of America. I'm not instituting or saying that you need to do what it says here because we are not Israel. We're not in the promised land. We're not where God is at. We are. All right. Some of us, most of us are not there.
Because I'm married to an Israel.
There you go.
I live in the land.
28th chapter. Very, very long chapter. Full of curses. Now, the curses aren't amen. Does anyone notice that? It doesn't voice and say amen. What does it say? Now we have God intervening, and He is going to do something. And this chapter tells them, remember, if you don't carry out amen, God will carry it out. That's what the 28th chapter is addressing. He'll bless you abundantly if you carry out what He has said for you to carry out. If you said, amen, I will obey the law. You say, amen, I will fulfill God's word. Amen, I will listen to the commandments and the statutes and the judgments, and I will do it according to your will, Almighty Father, or God, creator of heaven and earth, sustainer of life. And He said, now, by the way, if you do the amen, and your enemy comes to attack you, what's going to happen? They'll run from you for seven different interesting number, right? What does seven mean? Completely. They're going to flee from you and not return. You don't even have to go off finish attacking them. They just take off. They just disappear. Very interesting. Verse 2. All the blessings shall overcome you. It will overtake you. You have too many of them. Have you ever been blessed so much that you have too much? Well, God said, if you carry out the amen, you will have so much, you couldn't use it all up. Is that right? Do I misunderstand the verse 27, chapter 27 and 28? When Moses is still talking here, still teaching the same thing, still saying the same thing. It's not like, oh, I'll talk to you 7 years from now. No, he was going to be dead pretty soon. So he had to get to tell these people an awful lot of things. See, he had to tell them an awful lot of things. Verse 14. You shall not turn aside from the words which I command you this day to the right or to the left. Jeff.
One of the questions comes up is that the curses and such that are expressed here in chapter 28, and we see later on in the later on chapters in Deuteronomy, they talk about a coming, bringing back from all the nations and such like that. So the question comes in is that are the curses that we're seeing here in chapter 28 relate to things that happened during the exile? Because obviously they're talking about some things that sound Day of the Lord-ish here.
I have no doubt about that at all. See, we count what Apostle Peter said. Because human beings live for such a short period of time, God delays His judgment. Really? Not for Him. What? How long is a day to God? 1,000 years to us. Yeah, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it tomorrow. I'll take 3 days now. 3 days? That's 3,000 years from now. I'll be dead, buried, and rotted in the grave. Yeah, I'll take care of it. That's God's thinking, not ours. What does it mean? Do not turn to the left or to the right.
Focus.
I'm sorry, what?
Focus.
Focus, okay.
Keep moving forward.
Focus on what? Focus on the words which I command you today. What did Yahshua say about the road? It's narrow. And in Greek it means it's very narrow. So narrow that if you step off that road, you may have a hard time finding the road again. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. That's a really odd statement, isn't it?
Yeah, I remember you saying one time that the road is so narrow that no one can walk beside you. It's only wide enough for your two shoulders.
That's it. That's it. I don't have to say that. Yahshua said that. All right. I am the door. And he's also, the prophets say, even Job's sons and daughters cannot go in with him. It's a one-man show, a one-woman show, all the time, between you and the Creator of heaven and earth. Nobody can ride on coattails. Doesn't work with God. Understand that? You don't turn to the right for any reason, to find help, to find a direction. Don't go there to find out what is true, what is not true. This is true. In the 12th chapter, he talked about a very thing about, okay, you must destroy certain things in the land. If you go to their places, you will walk in their way. Oh, wow. You walk the wrong direction. There's no left side or right side with God. It's the Word. Keep your focus in on the commandments. Keep your focus in on the Torah. Keep your focus in on what is going on. Now, the rest of this chapter is a very fast thing. I'll go through a few of them, okay? Verse 20. Yahshua will send on your... Yahshua will send on your cursing, confusion, and rebuke. Oh, this is God doing it now. Remember what it said? 27th chapter? You're to carry it out. And if you don't, now Yahshua's going to carry it out. Yahweh's going to carry it out. The Creator of heaven and earth is going to carry it out. Do you see the comparison to the two chapters? One is, yes, I will. And that one says, if you don't, I will. Simple as that. Great blessings are mentioned here. But if you don't carry out the amen, I will. To a point where, yeah, you will number into the sand, the sea, you'll number the stars in heaven. But by the time I've finished with you, there ain't going to be very many of you left. You're going to be few in number. Not many, not in the billions, but in the hundreds, maybe thousands. The end. I will eliminate you. Those are pretty heavy things, don't you think? They are. He's talking like a big some plagues against you. Now, Yahweh's going to send plagues against you. Now, I'm asking you a question, you who are here. Sometimes you got sick, you got ill, and you blame this, you blame that, you blame this, you blame that, blame this for some bad food, bad this, bad that. Oh, I got someone sent me the bug, I got the bug, I got the flu. But here, the eternal creator says, you know, I'm going to send a plague. Did God send plagues in the past? Okay. So is God in control of plagues? Is God in control of diseases? Does God send diseases? Does God send wicked things that we cannot stand? He brought a whole flood upon the entire world and destroyed everybody. Right? All right. And so sometimes when we are sick or ill or lame, probably the first thing should go into our mind isn't, oh, I got to get an aspirin. Oh, I got to go to the doctor. Yes, that's just a question. Okay, God, what's happening? Am I hearing your word? Remember, he got them sick. At what place? Where? Sorry, what? No. What? Mara. What is that? What happened there? He sent them deliberately to a place that would poison them. Get them sick. Why? That's it. Why? It's a weird God. He gets you sick and then he heals you. Huh? Weird God, right? Well, not really. Yes.
It brings to mind Matthew that says, seek you first the kingdom of God. Seek righteousness. Because if you're looking for all your answers everywhere else, you're running around in circles.
You know, and the other question one has is, if you lead a blind man astray, it's as good as dead if you do that, right? Now, remember, this is a section, this chapter, Yahweh will do this. I will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of the heart, verse 28. Have you ever been kind of like, I'm saying it personally, even as a nation, as a people, do you kind of think that we're kind of walking in kind of a madness, a blindness, and confusion? Do you actually have confidence in what's going to happen? Do you know, or are you kind of confused? Well, if you know the word of God, you're not. But as a nation, yeah, our country's confused. Every nation, especially the nation of Israel today, when they don't respond to Devarim Elohim, they're going to be in a state of confusion. That's what God said. They're going to be a state of blindness. Don't know which way to go. What does madness mean? Does it mean insane, or it's a negative terminology, right? What do you think madness means? It doesn't mean that you're insane. It means you're going mad. You're going, you have no thought. You can't keep your brain, it's not registering anything. Nothing's gelling together at all. And guess what? Oh, you're going to group about like darkness, like a blind man in the darkness. And you're going to come to a point that says, now listen, this is very, very fascinating. The very last part of the chapter. Where was that now? Oh, I missed it. He said, you will want the morning to come because it's, oh, let night come. And the night comes, let morning, there's no hope. There's no future. There's nothing there. And it said, God is doing this. Now, we could blame, okay, that nation, those people, that society, that religion, that political party, that form of government, this form of government. But God says, no, I'm going to do this. We never give credit to God when things go bad. We blame people. We blame organizations. We blame mom and dad. We blame grandma and grandpa. We blame our upbringing. We blame the educational system. We blame doctors. We blame bad food. We blame, but God says, no, I'm doing it. If nothing else is clear in these two chapters, one thing I want to try to get across, maybe it was another chapter I read that thing in. I don't see it here. Oh, yes, it is. 67th chapter. 67th verse in the 28th chapter. In the morning. This is the very end of the chapter. Remember, the amen wasn't carried out. In the latter part of this chapter, 28th chapter, it says, this is going to come from Elohim. In the morning you will say, oh, that it were evening. And at evening you will say, oh, that it was morning. Because fear, which terrifies your heart, and because the sight which you see with your eyes. It's like being paranoia, I guess you might call it. I guess, you know, you have to be careful what I'm saying here today. It's when, let's say, when our government decides they're going to do something which is contrary to the Constitution of the United States, right? What does that do to you? When that right or that freedom is taken away from you. Well, okay, I'll absorb that. And then another one's taken away. You absorb that. And then another one's taken away and absorb that. Now, all of a sudden, something's going to happen to you. You're going to begin to be afraid of the government. Because the government's going to take you. Because you have no more freedom. And you're going to be afraid. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm saying, I'm using that as an example. Terrifying. Something's going to be so frightening, so scared to you, that you're going to want something else, and it's not there. Why is it not there? God has removed His hand from protecting you to spanking you. And you know that with God, death is just not an issue with Him. He says, I'll kill you and I'll raise you up. I'll make you sick and I'll make you well. Death is not a problem with Him. It's not absolute. We learned last Sabbath was, or two Sabbaths ago, I don't remember what it was. Death is not absolute. Not with God. For us, yeah, not with God. That's why our country and people, most of them are not afraid of facing judgment. Because they figure there is no God, no big issue, right? However, God says, go ahead and do what you're going to do. I'm going to call you back whether you like it or not. And I'm going to have something to say to you. Let's hope it's he'll probably tell you what's wrong first. All right. Any questions about these two chapters? Or any thoughts about these two chapters?
I have a question on 27 about your 27:16, where it says, "Cursed be he that sets light by his father or his mother." What does that mean?
Death sentence.
That you kill your mother or your father?
You don't. What is it? What is it? Thou shalt honor thy father and mother. If you don't, what happens to you?
It says, "Cursed be he that sets light by his father."
What does that mean by light?
Okay. I don't know.
Don't you mean by light? Esteem very low in Hebrew. Considered worthless people. Mom and dad are full of, and you say the word. That's esteeming them low, or that's a nice English word. They use the word lightly. But it means to consider low, beneath you. They are worse or less than you.
Mine says to treat his father or mother with contempt.
With contempt.
The Tanakh says degrade.
I'm sorry, what?
The Tanakh says degrade.
Okay.